Let's turn to James chapter 1. In verse 19, James tells us that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He goes on talking about wrath in verse 20. He said, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." In the Old Testament, we read concerning Moses that as they were coming near the end of the 40 years of wandering there in the wilderness, that once again the people came murmuring against Moses, murmuring against the Lord, chiding Moses. Chiding him for leading them out there in the wilderness where there was no vegetation, there was no water. And so Moses and Aaron went before the Lord, and Moses was commanded by the Lord to speak to the rock, and water will come forth. Moses wasn't happy with that. He was angry with the people. And I have to confess, I don't blame him. 40 years of nothing but murmuring. And he was just had it with him. And just to go out and speak to the rock, he wasn't satisfied in just doing that. So he went out and he said, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock?" And he lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, and he said, "Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." God was, of course, establishing or seeking to establish a very beautiful picture. We are told in the scriptures that that rock was actually Christ. And of course, the first time the Lord instructed him to smite the rock, and water will come forth. And that rock being a type or a symbol of Christ, in being smitten, the water of life flowed freely unto man. But it wasn't necessary to smite the rock the second time. Once smitten, as the book of Hebrews tells us, once and for all, Jesus was smitten for our sins. So that as God was wanting to set up a beautiful picture for the future, a great lesson concerning Jesus Christ, his Son, Moses blew the whole picture. In his anger, in his wrath, smiting the rock again, when God had said, "Just speak to the rock, and the water will come flowing forth." The picture is Christ, once smitten, has provided for us the water of life. It isn't necessary that he be smitten again. All that is necessary to receive that water of life is to speak to the rock. Just ask, and the water of life will flow freely unto us. But the picture that God was seeking to establish was destroyed by the wrath of man. It doesn't work, the righteousness of God. And thus Moses misrepresented God. Now he was God's representative to the people. And he represented God as being angry with them. You rebels, must I smite this rock again? And he represented God as being angry. God wasn't angry with them. God knew their needs. I wonder if oftentimes we might be guilty of misrepresenting God. Maybe we are angry over a situation, and we misrepresent God, because in our anger, we speak out against someone. They've just failed again, and we're so upset with them, and we, you know, sort of chide them, and God isn't really angry with them. God is loving, God is forgiving, and God is gracious. I saw a cartoon many years ago. A little boy was walking out of church holding his dad's hands. And he was saying to his dad, "Looks like God's mad at us again today." And I wonder how many times from the pulpit we might get that idea that God's mad at us, that he's upset with us. And Moses failed to represent God in his love, just wanting to provide all that's necessary. Is just speak and God will meet your needs. But the misrepresentation of God, and of course it did cost Moses. He was not able to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. Paul wrote to Timothy in the second letter. He said, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, ready to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." So, as a representative of God, we must not strive. We must be gentle, because God is gentle and God is loving and God is patient and God is forgiving. There are people who oftentimes get some foolish idea concerning the scriptures. They feel that God has given them some special revelation. And usually it is so new and so bizarre, nobody has ever thought of it before. And they think that it's a divine revelation from God. And they want to press that on others. And I find it very easy to get upset with those people that are trying to push some kind of a weird concept or idea. And they're wanting you to receive it and pushing it. And I just get upset with them. I'm not as bad as Romaine. I try to be gentle, but it is irksome. Paul instructs Timothy, however, to be patient and instruct them. And maybe God can help them to see the truth. A little further on in James chapter 3, verse 17, he will tell us that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easily entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's without partiality and without hypocrisy, And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The wrath of God, it really doesn't work. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. We remember the story of Saul. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it tells us that in his misguided zeal, thinking that he was doing God a favor, he was breathing out threatenings and murder against those who had come to a faith in Jesus Christ. The wrath of man, he was breathing out murder. But it doesn't really work the righteousness of God. Sometimes people try to pass off their anger or their wrath as righteous indignation. You know, as you look at history, it is really replete with men supposedly with a zeal for God who have in anger killed those who didn't agree with their doctrinal position. You think of the history of the persecution of the Protestants by the Catholic Church, the bloody Inquisitions. You think of Calvin and his bloodbaths against those who rejected his theology. And of course, today we see the fanatic Muslims in their wrath. And it really doesn't work the righteousness of God. These two fellows that were just released, the reporters for Fox, with guns pointing at their heads, they were forced to convert in their, you know, at least to verbally convert to Islam. You wonder what kind of a religion would require that kind of a forced confession. The wrath of man. So James goes on to tell us, wherefore, because the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Because the wrath of God doesn't, the wrath of man, I keep saying the wrath of God, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Lay aside, he said, all moral filth. That word, lay aside, is a Greek word that is actually to strip away, like a snake shedding its skin. The word filthiness, ruperia, can be used of the clothes or the body. You see someone and say, look at those filthy clothes. Do they ever wash them or do they ever wash their face? But he's making a reference to the mind. People can have filthy minds. Some men's minds are like racehorses. They run best in a dirt track. Constantly thinking filthy things. And so the exhortation is to clean up, shed the filthy mind. And the abounding in vice or evil. It can be like a malignant cancer. It is eating away, it is destroying you. And thus it is necessary to operate, to excise it from the body, from the mind. Just leave it go, and it will spread throughout your life until it destroys you. And with meekness, receive the engrafted word. So we get rid of some things, filth and the abounding evil, and we then take on something that cleanses. Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." We come every Wednesday night to get a bath, to let the word of God just wash and cleanse and, you know, remove from us the defilement of the world. And it's hard to live in the world today. It is so defiled. And it's good to come and have our minds sort of renewed and restored through the word of God, allowing the word of God to just wash and cleanse us. And so the engrafted word, he says. There are some things that we just seem to know intuitively that they are right, that those are the things I should do. And intuitively, I just know that. There are other things that we learn from the Word of God that this is the right reaction and response. And of course, here we have James exhorting us that the wrath of man doesn't really work the righteousness of God, to get rid of the filth and to just take on the engrafted word. Let the word of God be planted in our minds. In verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." It isn't just saying, "Lord, Lord." In fact, in another passage, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, and yet you don't do the things that I command you?" That's inconsistent. If he is the Lord, then we must obey. You remember when Peter had his vision there in Joppa, and this sheet came down from heaven with all kinds of animals, unclean in the Jewish mind, according to their laws. And the Lord said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter responded, "Not so, Lord." I would like to suggest that that is totally inconsistent. You can say, "Not so, friend. Not so, buddy." But you can't say, "Not so, Lord." If he's the Lord, the only thing you can say is, "Yes, sir." In other words, if he's the Lord, it's an automatic response to obey. And so not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does, and the emphasis is on the doing, the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Jesus went on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works." And then I will profess to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And of course, when the winds came and the rain and so forth, the house stood because it was built upon the rock. But again, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Jesus in John 13 said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said, it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In 1 John, he said, little children, don't let anyone deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. As John warned about deceiving yourselves, and this is an issue in which many people are deceived, because they are hearing the word of God, because they know the word of God, or they know the law of God, they feel that they are fine because they know what the Bible says. But really, to know and not to do, you're in worse condition than the person who doesn't know. Jesus gave that parable of the Lord who went away to a far country, left his goods in with one of the servants. And over a period of time, the servant said, my Lord delays his coming. He began to take advantage of his position and abuse those that were under him. And the Lord returned when he wasn't expecting him, caught him in these evil practices, and ordered him to be cut off. And Jesus said, for he who knew the will and did not do it is really in much worse condition than a person who didn't know the will. Because he knew the will, he was ordered to be beaten with many stripes. Jesus said, yet here's a man who did things that was worthy of many stripes, because he didn't know, will be beaten with few. Unto whom much is given, much is required. So the Jews boasted in the law, but they didn't keep the law. And it isn't sufficient just to have the law. The important thing was to keep the law. And so the warning about deception. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Paul wrote, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, don't be deceived. Don't think that you can be doing these things and inherit the kingdom of God. And again with Galatians, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, of your flesh you're going to reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit will reap life everlasting. Don't be deceived. You cannot sow to the flesh and reap of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not proper, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It isn't what I say so much as what I do that is important. Be ye doers of the word. And there in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and he goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. Again, sort of the deception. You look in a mirror, you see all your flaws, but how quickly you can forget when you walk away. I look in the mirror now and I smile and I say, Smith, you're getting to be an old man. And it's sort of interesting. I find it amusing to see that, you know, I'm getting old. And then I come to church and I see the guys breaking up a sidewalk with a jackhammer. And I grab the jackhammer and I start working away, and I grab the sledgehammer and find myself busting concrete. And, you know, I forgot that I'm an old man until afterwards, and then I feel it. But how quickly, you know, we forget what we really are. We look into a mirror and you walk away and you forget. Such is the man who is a hearer. You hear the truth, but you don't always respond to that truth. I look at the law of God, and I, in my heart, confirm that the law of God is good. It is right. It is the way that I should live. Then a situation rises, and I fail to respond as the law commands me to respond. I get angry. I react in anger, or I feel like taking vengeance when I know that the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, I feel good because I approve the law. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Yes, I like that. I agree with that. That's what I should do. Well, I know, you see, but if I don't do it, then knowing it doesn't cut it. It's the importance of doing what the word tells me to do. So you look into the perfect law of liberty and you continue in it, and not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. Knowing that just having the law doesn't justify me. Not just knowing the truth, but keeping the truth and keeping the law. So that's where we need the help. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in. Because so many times we find ourselves doing things that are contrary to what I know to be right. My response or my reaction was not a right response or reaction. And so I come to the Lord and I confess and I ask the Lord for his help. And he does help me. And he is helping me. And I'm not the man I used to be. I'm glad for the changes that the Lord has been working in my life, helping me to do the things, not just hear the things. Father, we all of us need your help. We thank you that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are right, making wise the simple. The Lord, knowing and doing is often two different things. And so we ask your help, Lord, that we not just know and approve what is right, but that we might do what is right. Lord, there are many here tonight, just now, situations in their lives, things that have them upset, angry. We know, Lord, that the wrath of man doesn't really work the righteousness of God. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us as in our flesh, we want to respond after the flesh and do things, Lord, that are contrary to how you would have us to do them. And so help us, Lord, that we might commit our ways unto you and that we would receive that strength and help of your Holy Spirit, that we might indeed be doers of the word and not just hearers only, being deceived because we have the word. But help us, Lord, to realize it's more than just having the truth. It's following the truth. So, Lord, bring us closer between what you would have us to be and what we are. And make us, Lord, what you would have us to be. Give us the help and the strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you tonight. And maybe the word of God from James has hit an area in your life that you realize that you're not where the Lord would have you to be in your responses, in your reactions, and you recognize your need of his help. We would encourage you, come on down, and these men are here to pray for you. That God will help you to become all that he wants you to be, conformed into the image of Jesus. The weakness of our flesh, it fights against the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. But God is able to help, and we need that help. And God is wanting to help you tonight. So give him that opportunity. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance
upon
thee, and give